going to get a little scientific now about pop music. One man has a theory about a possible correlation between volatility on the trading floor and what's hot on the dance floor. Phil Myman is assistant professor of finance and risk engineering at New York University. He's analyzed songs from the Billboard Hot 100 using computer software, and what he's found involves beat variance. Songs with a more steady beat or a low beat variance seem to be hot when the market is volatile, and vice versa. Songs with high beat variance are popular when the market is calm. He recently explained his theory to us.
I think the key linking idea is mood. The mood of the people is probably influenced by the market. If you think market volatility is high, you might choose to then listen to what kind of music? More volatile music or less volatile music? What would you listen to?
I would think less volatile. You'd want to calm down.
And that seems to be what happens. People tend to want to calm down. People use music, in a sense, as an escape.
We need to listen to some music to explain this concept called beat variance. And so before we go on, please define that term for us. What exactly is beat variance?
The variance is just a measure of how far a number deviates from its average. So a low beat variance song does not deviate from its average beat very much. It doesn't matter whether the average beat is slow or fast, but it's a constant boom, 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 boom. Whatever it is, that's low beat variance song. Meanwhile, a high beat variance song probably has changes in tempo and beat. Maybe it starts off slow, and then it gets really fast for a while, and then it comes back slow again. That would be a high beat variance song.
So why don't we do a little bit of show and teller, since we're on the radio, maybe a little hear and talk.
All right.
Let's listen to some music. First, a song with very low beat variance. This is a song that's actually at the top of the charts right now by Lady Gaga. It's called Just Dance. Red wine. Okay, fairly consistent beat there.
Yeah, you can really hear it, right? I've had a little bit too much,
All of the people start to rush, by. If you were doing that disco head bopper thing, I could see how you'd be almost like a metronome.
Yeah, that's
those,
exactly
those
what
Saturday
I'm doing.
Night Live guys.
Exactly. And you can't do that to more complex songs. These songs that you nod your head to, there's something physiological about that. It really does calm you down, and it can only happen with a low beat variance song.
Okay, now we have an example of a song with a very high beat variance. Now this is from an artist, John Legend, the song Ordinary People. Girl, I'm in love with you, but this ain't the honeymoon,
past the infatuation phase. If you're trying to do the, as you said, the Saturday Night Live head-bopping thing, it's much harder to do to Ordinary People. There are points when you kind of get it, but then it changes. And though love sometimes hurts, I still put you first, and we'll make this thing work, but I think we should take it slow. We're just ordinary people. I find it engages the mind a lot more. It's more intellectually draining, I think, to listen to such a song.
So does this theory hold up over time? I know that the software is new, but if you went back and looked at the Billboard 100 and mapped that against highs and lows in the market, what would we find?
That's exactly what I did. I analyzed all 5,000 top 100 songs over 50 years from 1958 through 2007. For each of the 100 songs in each year, I calculate its beat variance using this software. Then I take the average for all of the songs for that year to get a sense of what was the average sort of beat variance that people were exposed to in popular music for that year. And that sequence of numbers, we look at the correlation between that and the market volatility of the appropriate time period. And it turns out that the relationship is persists for 50 years.
Now, we talked about pop music, but I'm wondering if this same theory applies to other genres. Funk music, jazz, country.
Those are wonderful questions. Obviously, this is, you know, they'll require further research. The reason I started with pop music was, by definition, it's popular. It's what people are listening to, or at least it's the best proxy that I could find for what people are actually listening to.
So when you go out and buy music, or you decide what you're going to download on your iPod,
mm-hmm.
are you cognizant of this research?
I am now. But on the other hand, a lot of the music that I listen to is driven by my baby daughter. She likes, you know, Wizard of Oz music and, you know, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. So I don't really have a choice. I like listening to what she likes listening to.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, high variance or low variance?
I actually didn't analyze it. I'm not sure.
Get to work.
I will.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Phil Maiman is an assistant professor of finance and risk engineering at the Polytechnic Institute at New York University. And Professor Maiman, since we here at NPR report the news, and since this has been a year of high volatility, we might as well go out with a song that, at least according to you and your research, seems to reflect the market. So let's cue Beyonce with Single Ladies. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.